Hey, Mr. One Stop. I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
Welcome to Addicted to the Needle,
the podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer. I'm your record dealer, Ben Shulman.
And I'm Patrick Foisy, the addict.
You look better than last time I saw you. You seem namaste. You seem relaxed.
So here's the thing. There's
the
good
bags
news.
Bags under your eyes have gone away. I feel like such a dick.
Well, there's good news.
What's the good news?
The good news is now I have good days and bad days. So at the beginning, it was only bad days.
Yeah.
So it,
you were like Zombie Pat.
Yeah. So now it switches back and forth. So I think that is progress. So for our addicts out there that skipped the few last episodes, I've been off work due to a burnout, and I'm slowly gaining my energy back.
We're lighting that fire under your ass again.
But it's a long and strenuous, you know.
This was years in the making, this burnout. This didn't just happen out of nowhere. No. I've known you basically half of my lifetime at this point. I've known you a long time, and definitely this was like years.
Oh yeah.
In building up, so it makes sense that your healing process has been, it's taking time, you know.
I'm still working on the physical aspect of it. I haven't crossed to the mental, working just on the mental yet.
In my brain, I just cut to like a Rocky montage of you like jogging up the steps of St. Joseph's Oratory, wiping the sweat off with the towel.
Well, no, because I'm way too tired to even be there.
Yeah,
so
maybe in the spring. I'm kidding.
So
you're feeling better. You're feeling a bit better though.
Yeah. So today's a good day. So yeah. Knock on wood.
Eddie Floyd said it best.
Yeah, oh, we tried to coin that expression. Let's Eddie Floyd it. You don't remember?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do remember that now. Yeah, Eddie Floyd it. Onward! Nice.
Well, first of all, I want to wish you a happy 2024.
Yeah, thank you very much. Happy New Year to you, too. I was just remarking before we started recording that this is a monumental year for me because this marks the 20th anniversary of when I started buying records. I bought my first record in 2004. So I've been at this for 20 years now, since the ripe age of 11. So
I don't even want to think how many records, you know, switched hands
through my hands in the last 20 years. Probably more than anybody. Not album for 45s, definitely. I've probably broken some record at some point for youngest person of, you know,
in
the 21st century to have x amount of 45s go through his hands. I don't think there's probably anyone under the age of 30, you know, when I was under 30, that had so many rare soul records in the 21st century go through his hands. I could safely boast that, I think.
Well, my wish for you for 2024 is to knock off a few records off the top of your want list. How's that?
I don't even know what those are. Last year, getting that Midnight Angels last year on our crazy trip to Rwanda made up for, you know, top wants for the next 10 years.
Oh, I forgot to remind you, because usually you sell me records, but every once in a while you'll play a record you found and you're really excited about.
Yeah.
And I forgot to tell you to bring your temp tones.
Oh my God. You know what? I was looking at it this morning and I should have brought it. I completely forgot.
So tell me the story about that particular record.
Did we ever talk about this on the show?
I don't think so. Did we?
Well, you know, it's funny. I wanted to feature that. I mean, we won't bother at this point. You could do that thing where you edit it into the background right now.
I could
right
do
now.
That.
Right now.
People always call me a fool.
So if you go onto my Instagram, which if you're listening, you probably already follow me, or you can, it's Shulman the Soul Man. I think it's my most recent post. So this 45 is by a group called the Temptones. They were a white group from Philadelphia from the late 60s that featured a young Daryl Hall, who later went on to form Hall & Oates. I'd been after this 45 forever. It's on the Arctic label, which is like, you know, classic Philly soul, Barbara Mason, the Ambassadors, et cetera, et cetera. And our friend of the show and a good friend of mine, Nick Catalano, who owns Beatnik Records here in Montreal, which is actually currently for sale.
Really?
He's selling the store. 25 years. He's ready to get out of the business. He's 72.
You always say the address, too, on the show.
3770 St. Denis, corner of Pine, between Pine and Roy. Or, sorry, Des Pins?
Yeah.
That's funny, because that just sounds like the bread. Pain?
Well, it's...
It's the same
pronunciation.
P-I-N-S.
And pain is a tree.
It's a pine tree. But if you're an old school Anglo-Montrealer, it's Pine Avenue, because that's like what my grandmother would call it. Then again, my grandmother grew up in that neighborhood in 1930. So anyhow, Beatnik is for sale. And Nick, who owns Beatnik, has kind of always been like my record mentor, because he's a crazy soul 45 collector, just like us. And I was at his house maybe 2-3 years ago, and we were a bottle and a half of wine in, and I found the Temptones 45 at his house, and went, oh, you have this? And he went like, oh, I guess. That's the problem. Like, he has the craziest soul records, and he doesn't remember where he got them or where they came from. And I've always kind of jokingly bugged him for it. And when we went to buy all those records up in Rouyn-Noranda a couple of months back, which I think we talked about 2 or 3 episodes ago.
Yeah, I think 3.
There was a copy of the Underworld 45 in there, which is pretty wild. One of the best Canadian garage 45s, which unfortunately I think I had sold you already.
Oh,
did you get it for me? Yes, you did.
You sold it to me on the show.
Ugh, what a great record. Nick always said, next time you find one, you have to trade it to me. And I said, I'll trade it to you, but you have to trade me something I really want. I don't want to trade you this incredible 45 for just little bits and pieces there. Like, I want the Temptones 45. And he went, oh, you know, it's in my collection. And I went, eh, come on. And I fucking bugged him about it for like 2 months. And finally, then it went from, I'll think about it, to, okay, like, it's yours, but like, it's just still in my collection. Like, we'll get there. Finally, I got it off him. So top want for me. Yeah. 2023 was a good year for finding records I really wanted. Yeah.
And it's a rare one.
It's very rare. It's very
in demand.
It's expensive. That's hence why the Underworld was a fair trade. And right. Bear in mind, the Underworld I traded him was unplayed mint. This one's in very good shape, but it's funny. You can't even see it in the video I posted in my Instagram post. There actually is some kind of weird imperfection at the beginning of the track. Like, it kind of looks like a little burn. You can't even tell. It swooshes like right before the track starts. But yeah, it's a good track too. Is that something like you're up your alley kind of thing? Like,
yeah, but
it's a little bit tempo-y.
But and
no, not even. It's just, yeah.
Here's the funny thing. I think the first 45 I ever bought, I'm not talking about the album.
Yeah.
The first 45 I ever bought was Private Eye by Hall & Oates.
Great.
I was a huge Hall & Oates fan.
What song is that? Like, how does that go again?
Well, Private Eye. Yeah. Private Eyes, we're watching you.
Yeah, that one.
So... But here's the thing, and I really liked his latest stuff he does on YouTube, like
Daryl's House. Our friend Eli Paperboy Reed was a guest at Daryl's House and performed with him, which was super cool.
Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings also.
And Dap Kings. Yeah, so a couple of people we know have rubbed shoulders with Daryl Hall. It's really
Except
rad.
Lately, he's suing his partner.
He's suing Oates?
Yeah, and
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, and he has a thing against him. I don't know why. It's like, yeah, one of the best duos from the 80s, and now he's sort of a dick. So
yeah, they don't. It's true. They notoriously don't get along. Kind of like how Sam and Dave didn't talk to each other. They would separate dressing rooms, opposite side of wherever they were performing. They'd walk out, they would perform like they were best friends, and then didn't talk to each other off stage.
But I put it a bit more on Daryl's shoulders, because he's the one who's talking shit out in the media, and I think he's the one who brought the suit. And so
this is an invite for Daryl Hall to come sit down in Montreal with the Addicted to the Needle guys and maybe set the record straight, and we could talk about.
Well, he has. I've heard him in interviews, and he just sounds like a douche. So,
well, Daryl Hall, if you hear this episode, Pat thinks you're an asshole. He's not a fan.
I used to be the biggest fan, and now it's like it's tempered.
Well, Daryl Hall, I think you're great, and we'll finish this up really quickly. Another reason I love this 45, and I talk about this in my post and share pictures, is that Daryl Hall was a huge Temptations fan. Temptations. And the Temptones actually had, like, beat out several, like, black soul groups in singing competitions. Like, they beat the Delphonics, which is, like, kind of nuts to think about. That, like, in Philly, that, like, these white kids who were, like, obsessed with Motown.
And
like,
they were really young, too.
And our friend Scott Boyko, who was here for Montreal a few months ago, he had pointed out in the comments that he was under the impression that they were called the Temptones because they all went to Temple University. That's obviously makes sense too, but I believe they were the Temptones because of the obsession with the Temptations. And it's really cool because there's pictures of the Temptones and the Temptations all together, which is, it's just really cool. So obviously it's Temptations-y, it's soul-y, it's like, I was just really happy to get this record. I feel like a putz for not having it with me to play, but anyway, you probably just heard it in the background because Pat, our producer, edited it in.
Well, I wish you a 2024 with the rarest finds and the biggest profit margins.
Well, I think the first record I should sell you in 2024 should be something that I think you'd be happy to get. I don't know if you know this record, and I'll admit, I think I may have actually featured this record on this podcast as a find I was happy to get maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. It was a 45 called Keep On Dancing by Terry and the Pirates. Does that ring a bell to you at all? Like, I don't know why I feel like I may have played this record on the show.
Because the label looks familiar.
So it's a yellow label called Trend Records. It's a Canadian-only record. Trend was a label from Toronto. Funny enough, it says West Hill, Ontario on the bottom, which is like a neighborhood of Toronto. So Terry and the Pirates became a psych band called The Dana. And what's really interesting is that someone wrote the name Dana on the top of the label. Like, that's the band they became. It's kind of funny that someone would have done that. So obviously you're probably thinking this is like a garage record. It isn't. It is definitely, Blue-Eyed Soul.
All right.
I think you're really going to dig this one. I think this is a good way to start 2024. Keep On Dancing. I mean, come on. How can you go wrong with that title? So are you ready to keep on dancing?
Always.
Let's go.
has everything I like. Checked a lot of boxes there. Hand clapping, you know, dancing themed. It's Canadian.
Yep.
I'm glad this Toronto. I'm glad this is the first one of 2024.
We got to keep
you're selling me.
We got to keep it Canucky up here. You know what? It's one of those records that it's definitely not very well known, and it's like Trend Records is it's kind, you know, it's like one of those like, you know, Jet or, you know, one of those like kind of like smaller Franklin, these obscure Canadian labels. Like,
I've never seen that one.
There's about 9 or 10 45s on label, and they're all like garagey or psych. Like, I wouldn't say that's garage. I mean, they're no. they're a white. They're clearly a white group, but like, that's a soul record. You know, it's got the
horns.
The horns are very good. The horns are well done. Like the way they kind of cut, they kind of come in and out like that. Very nice. Little drum break, clapping. It's about dancing. What a way to kick off 2024 with a record from, I believe it's from 68.
The production cool, cool is not the best, you
no,
know.
It's, yeah, well, it's
well,
very,
it's live.
Definitely
so,
live.
So that, you know, that's the only criticism I have about
Canadian,
it.
Canadian obscurity, something that Michael Robinson might like. he's like the unofficial like deity of the show. It's like, oh, does it click the mic? We should have him as a guest on the show, and he can just play records that blow our freaking mind.
Well, here's the thing. I did record an episode.
Oh, yeah.
In Brooklyn.
What happened with that?
Well, the thing is, I couldn't plug in the turnntable.
Right. So, oh, so he needed to record the tracks.
Yeah, and one of the, I think the first track we featured was off an acetate.
Of course.
So it's not.
He's got a lot of acetates.
And he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to transfer it and I'll send it to you. Of course.
Well, he also moved. He moved to Texas, and I know his records were in store. So it's like, yeah, it might. Well, who knows? One day it might get done, and then we can release like a From the Vault episode. You
but
know?
I think he probably forgot about it.
Yeah,
so
well, anyway,
doesn't matter.
Well, you know what? If he ever comes to Montreal, which is definitely not out of the realm of possibility, we'll get him on the show for sure. That'd be a lot of fun because we talk about him a lot.
But we had a great time recording that episode in his apartment in Brooklyn.
Great.
But
that. We love that guy.
Happens.
Moving right along. So, like I said, you look relaxed. You look like you might even have the slightest tan. Where have you been? Where did you go?
You noticed.
Where did you sneak off to?
I still do have a slight tan.
No, you look like a pasty white French Canadian guy. Anyway,
no,
like
so,
you got a little bit of color. You got a little bit of color.
So I went for 7 days, a week, and I celebrated Christmas in Cuba.
Nice. Are you a communist now?
No, but I'm glad. I'm glad we get to go and... it's something the Americans can't do.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, but...
Hashtag Bay of Pigs. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Americans can't go there, so it's like it's just other Canadians?
So the if you list the tourists that go to Cuba...
Yeah.
Like the... So the most they have. And I'll split in two. Number one...
Canada.
No, Quebec.
Okay. And a certain part of Canada.
In a second place is the rest of Canada. Mostly...
A lot of Quebecers?
It's their number one...
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the number one place Quebecers went was Floride.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Florida. I mean, Florida, a lot of Quebecois go to Florida, man. I mean,
Quebec sustains Cuba's tourists.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Saw a lot of other Quebecers there?
80%.
Did I ever tell you just a quick Cuba-Quebec story? I've never been to Cuba in my life. But in 2014, I was driving to New Orleans on a road trip with some friends, and I went to buy beer at the gas station. And the woman says, "Cassie, your ID is in Tennessee." So I show her my Quebec driver's license. She looks at me and she goes, "Y'all from Cuba?"
What?
She thought that the Q... U-E-B on my driver's license, because she had never seen a Quebec driver's license. She thought that it said Cuba. I'm not... You can't even make this shit up. Anyway.
We have...
Cuba, Quebec, it sounds alike.
We have American listeners, so I won't even make a joke. You know? I don't want to lose them.
I will. No, I'm kidding.
Well, number one are... people from Quebec.
Quebec followed by the rest of Canada.
They speak almost as much French there.
Cubans. Wow.
Well, the ones that, that work in the resorts.
Yeah.
Than English.
And how was the resort? Nice?
So let me finish.
Sure.
So Quebecers are the number one. After that, the rest of Canada.
Yeah.
Third are Russians.
Oh, I've heard that.
But since the, you know, Ukraine-Russian war, they stopped coming, basically. Hmm. And then the Chinese. Makes sense, because, you know, communist countries.
Yeah, two, a former communist country, a current communist country, and then a country a lot of people think is becoming communist, Canada.
And they love Quebecers because, I guess, we're nice. You know, it's the Canadian thing, too.
I mean, you're on vacation. You're going to be nice.
Well, here's the thing. We tip very well.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, we absolutely do. And we bring a lot of, you know, gifts.
Is that a Quebecois thing? You guys like really good tippers?
Absolutely, 100%.
I have no idea. I'm not Quebec. I mean, hey, look, people always say Jews are cheap, and I think I leave the biggest tips. I always leave more than anyone should. I believe in tipping very well. I think
it's, you know, Europeans are not.
It's different. It's not part.
It's not part of the culture.
They don't even do it.
No, Americans don't tip a lot.
No, they don't.
We tip anything and everything. And in, so, you know, if you go to Cuba, you're going to stay in a resort.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be, quote unquote, all inclusive.
All inclusive. Except you tip every time you go grab a drink.
In Canadian dollars?
In Canadian dollars. It used to be, they used to only want it American.
Yeah.
Now, Canadian dollars are par with the American money. And
it's not.
In Cuba, it is.
Oh, in Cuba. Okay, I was going to say, oh my God, it's not here.
I know.
Yeah, I buy records in U.S. dollars sometimes, and I go, holy shit, that's $100 more than I thought I was spending.
We haven't talked about having resolutions for 2024.
Oh, okay.
I have one for you.
What's that?
Swear less.
Oh, yeah.
And don't touch your mic.
Okay, Mr. Fuzzy. I'm like the shitty student, and you're like the
over. There you go again.
Je m'excuse.
Anyway, so
I'm sorry to the children listening. I don't mean to swear. Puppies and sunshine.
So they do love Quebecers because we bring
lots
gifts
of loonies and toonies,
and we give gifts. So my wife, you know, it was my first time. First of all, I don't do all inclusives.
I've never been to one in my life.
Yeah. I went around the world with a backpack, but I've never been to an all inclusive. Doing the beached whale on the sand is not my thing.
Me neither.
But it was the thing
you needed.
I needed. So my wife has been going a few times, even since we've been together.
Yeah, she's not alone. Yeah,
she goes alone.
Sure.
And she always does like Ziploc bags full of stuff. Like she'll put a toothbrush, some toothpaste, some nail polish. You know,
really?
Yeah, and I was talking to Bobby from the Gruesomes, and he goes, "You know what you should bring? You should bring guitar strings. Like they go crazy for that because it's all stuff they don't have."
You can't get toothpaste?
It's $20 for a tube of toothpaste.
Wow, that's
so they don't.
Woo, communism! It works.
Well, especially and they've been hit hard since. The supply chain hasn't come back since COVID.
And haven't they had some like crazy weather the past like 2-3 years?
Right, storms that too.
They get hit, and then it takes them forever to come back from that too. I guess. Yeah.
So we
did you bring guitar strings?
No, oh. Bobby was.
They're not cheap.
John was supposed to give me some, and we just forgot.
Well, whatever.
So
next time.
I'd walk around and I'd see the gardener, and I'd go give him like a little Ziploc bag of stuff. And
are they like super like grateful? Like,
well, they're used to it because we're Quebecers, so we all do it.
It's true. It's just it's funny, you know, growing up in like, you know, the first world, it's like you can't imagine like ever wanting for those things. It's crazy to think about, right? You know, it's like,
but we're the only ones who do it.
Wow.
So,
yeah, it's, you know, what are the Chinese and Russians going to show up?
No, they don't. Yeah, so anyway, they like us.
Oh. So it was nice.
And we're party people at the same time. And,
Quebecers know how to get down.
And we don't, we're not, you know, bad drunks either, you know. So
just picturing a bunch of drunk Russians and Chinese people, I would rather hang out with the
generalize, but I've heard stories. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. Let's not become the racial program. Let's not start doing the hierarchy of who's better at being drunk.
No, but I'll defend the Quebecers in the sense that we're really appreciated,
sure,
and liked, and we're generous, and the Cuban people are amazing. Cool. But I did cross at one point a Quebec Karen. That was complaining.
What do you call a Quebec Karen? Like a Parisian?
Karen?
Oh, yeah, Karen. Yeah, I was like, there's got to be like a really, like a Joanne or something. Right. A Quebec Karen.
And she was complaining. She was like, I paid $6,000 to come here.
Was she complaining in English or French?
Oh, broken English, if I remember correctly. Ugh, God. And I was embarrassed.
You should have gone up to her in French and told her off. But hey, you know what? Mind your own business.
Because there's you know, supply chain
issues,
especially food.
Yeah, how was the food? Out of curiosity, like just meh.
So, but I did spend, you know, Christmas Eve there. And I think they hoarded stuff for Christmas Eve because the Christmas Eve buffet was out of this world. It was amazing.
What was it? Just like,
oh, you had like, it wasn't lobster. It's
like prawns or whatever.
The smaller, like the smaller looking
crawfish. I don't know.
No, that's
some kind of crab.
No, it looks like.
Okay, it's some sort of.
It's not scampi. Food. It's like it was
lobster.
Mm-hmm. So and no, but you know, like the first 5 days they didn't have eggs, for instance.
Wow.
And
you think that'd be the easiest thing to get? Everywhere has
eggs are awesome.
Okay, calm down, Marty. you know, it's funny because you think eggs would be the easiest thing to get. There's chickens everywhere, right? You know, like aren't there chickens? Yeah, it's weird. It just seems like
who knows.
Yeah.
So I was in Kayakoko, which is an island just off of the main island.
Okay.
And the only thing there's that you'll find on that island is 4 resorts. Wow. That's it.
Well, interesting.
Nothing else.
Who owns the resorts?
Good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
We're getting off topic.
So we, you know, there were a few issues with, you know, the food and the supply chain. But
do you drink bottled water there? Is it like Mexico?
Oh, bottle only.
Yeah.
And they'll leave some in your little fridge in your room. Okay. And they only serve from the bottle. I guess also the ice is from Baltimore.
Yeah. So people getting like sick from that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. That was fine. Everything was fine. A few issues, but you're like, I paid nothing. It was like a incredible deal. That's why we jumped on it.
Yeah. Sure. I remember Nikki saying how cheap it was. Yeah.
We had a couple of friends that are a couple that we double date all the time.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
So Brad and Anne, and they were telling us, we went to eat sushi one night, and they were telling us, oh, there's this great deal for Cuba, like $1,050 to go each. I went, oh, that's great.
Seriously.
Okay. But again, you know, I had a dilemma because, you know, technically I'm off work. Should I go on vacation? I felt a little
guilty. You should. You're off. Who cares?
I felt guilty.
What are you, a Jew? What, do you have Jewish guilt? You're not supposed to feel guilty about these things. Just go.
Well, I did, and I waited at the last minute. But here's the thing, because I was waiting on my next appointment with my doctor.
Yeah.
To see if, you know, I was still off. So, but the thing is, the price kept going down. So it went down to $950.
Wow.
And then we went, oh, Wow.
Might as well.
Maybe we should go. I went, no, I'm going to wait the okay from the doctor. And then it went down to 850. Yeah. And we go, that's crazy. That's what we spend in a week living in Montreal, you know?
You've bought records for more than that.
And then it went It went down to 750.
You've definitely bought records for more than that.
On this show.
I know. From me.
In the last couple of episodes, too.
Oh, we're not supposed to talk about the price. Anyway, you can't pass up on 750. I mean,
And she made a good point. She goes, listen, is your doctor going to send you back to work a week before the vacation?
Absolutely not.
During a strike.
Yeah, that's true too. Right, the teachers had been on strike.
So I went, yeah, let's gamble, let's pull the trigger, and I was definitely not ready to go back anyway.
Well, you're still not back now, so obviously,
no.
I guess you're just taking the year at this point.
No, it's always month to month, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
So the whole purpose of it was going there, and so our friends were going there
also, yeah.
And we were arriving a day early. And I was so excited when we bought the tickets that, oh, I can't wait to tell Anne and Brad. And she went, my wife went, we're not telling them.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to surprise them. So we arrive a day early, and we waited for them in the lobby the day after.
Okay, so
like waiting for them.
You knew when they were, like, going to show up,
right? And we surprised them, and they were... It took them, we saw Anne first, and then Brad came in later, and I just showed up and wearing the exact cap I'm wearing right now with some shades, and she was standing there waiting for Brad with like two beers in her hands, and I went into her bubble, and I just rubbed shoulders with her, and afterwards she told me, I was so annoyed. I was going to turn around and punch you in the face.
Oh, that's so funny.
So she turned around and looked at me without saying a word. And then I took off my shades. It still took like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And she started screaming. Ah! And I did exactly the same thing to Brad. And he reacted exactly the same.
Oh, that's fun.
So I thought, you know, this is what I need. Do nothing. Don't worry about cleaning.
R&R.
The food. Just sit in a chair, read, and dip your toes in the Atlantic Ocean, and that's it.
Is the water? Is it like the really clear water there?
It's beautiful, and the sand is beautiful.
I've never been to the Caribbean or Cuba or Jamaica, none of that. Like,
it's one of the nicest beaches
and the water's probably like nice to go in, because it's like,
no, it was cold.
Because I was gonna say, I'm used to the North Atlantic. Like, we go to Maine and we're like, oh, the water's nice today. It's like 62 degrees, and we're like, it's good.
It was cold,
really.
And I went it just by principle. Just to say, I've went in above the waist, and that's it.
It was that cold, because my wife, the meteorologist, keeps talking about how it's an El Nino year, and it's supposed to be warmer.
But I think that's on the Pacific side. El Nino affects the Pacific.
Oh, I don't know, because I kept asking her. I'm like, it's been so much, like, our winter so far. I mean, it snowed last night and today, and it's like, this has really been the second time we've had, like, an accumulation of snow. It's weird. Yeah. You know, Montreal, usually by now, we're buried, and it's been I've been walking Hank in my Crocs at night the last week. It hasn't been that cold, you know? I haven't had to put on boots.
Oh, my God, you're talking to a mod about Crocs.
Yeah, this is where we are. This is where we are in our relationship
This
now.
Is an offense to my sensibility.
Hey, I thought mods are supposed to embrace modernity, and Crocs are freaking modernity.
No, we just have taste.
Yeah, I know. You're talking to the queen of Old Navy here. Anyway, so you had a nice trip.
So, but here's the thing.
Where's all your Cuban records you found?
Here's the thing. I had good days, and I actually had bad days. And the worrisome thing about it is that I'd be sitting there, no triggers, nothing, not thinking about school. And I'm not close to school. Now I'm like 4-hour plane ride to,
you're like 4,000 miles away, or kilometers at
and
least. Yeah.
I was just sitting there, and then I'd start feeling bad for no reason.
Yeah, that's called anxiety.
Well, I felt more tingly and feeling like drained. And then it was like a wave of emotion and it would just come out as tears.
Yeah, well, it's like you're letting it out still, you know. That seems completely natural, you know.
It happened to me 3 times in Cuba.
Good.
And luckily,
maybe the warm weather kind of like you sweated it out, you know.
But that was a first for me, that there was no triggers. It would just happen. So now every few days I'll just be there, especially if I'm around people. I'll have to go sit in a corner because I feel it coming. And it takes about 15, 20 minutes. It goes through like a wave and then I'm okay again. But I have the sweetest and nicest friends you can imagine and the best wife on the planet.
When he's talking about his sweet, nice friends, he's talking about me, everyone.
Well, I haven't had an episode in your presence, so I can't include that.
It's because you're too distracted when I'm here, because we're so focused on the podcast. That it's like, I feel like when these things happen to you, it's probably because your mind is subconsciously wandering, where it's like when we're doing this, we're so, you know.
Well, this is a little corner of paradise for me. Yeah, we're talking like about music. We're listening to it's my therapy.
For sure. I was going to say I'm the cheapest therapist, but no, I'm not.
You're not. No, actually, more expensive than more expensive my than real there. One.
Yeah, but you know what? It's probably just as good.
So, all in all, I don't regret it, but now I have to figure out why it just starts like that. I haven't figured out why. So, this is where I am.
Well,
that's it. So chapter close. Oh, and if you want to ask about records in Cuba.
Yeah.
I watched a few YouTube videos before I left.
Yeah, right. I think we talked about this a little bit.
Going about to digging in Cuba.
Not recommended.
No.
No.
We think Jamaica has like bad graded condition, records.
Yeah.
Cuba is even worse. And it's expensive.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, you're seeing toothpaste costs $20, I mean, like, but, I guess we were talking about this off air after we recorded the last episode before you went on this trip. I mean, because I know plenty of people, stories I've heard of, like, people going to Jamaica in the 80s or whatever, just on vacation, and, like, they would, and I know this from when just buying records randomly from random people, you know, 1,000 times over the last 10 years, where I'd be buying records and someone would say, oh yeah, I have the stack of Jamaican records. I was in Jamaica, you know, 30 years ago and just wanted to get some music, so I bought these 45s. Like, in Jamaica, the music and the music as a huge part of their culture is a gigantic export. Don't get me wrong, I mean, there's Cuban music as well, but especially for the kind of stuff that we champion. I mean, it's like, yeah, come on, Jamaica. I mean, like,
but I like Latin salsa, yeah, the you know,
Cuban mambo, you know,
Cuban jazz.
Havana is the home of mambo music,
right?
Know? It's like where Burt Burns, you know, back when Americans were able to go to Cuba, Burt Burns, you know, Bang and Shout records, and he wrote Twist and Shout and Here Comes the Night, you know, Burt Burns. He lived in Cuba for like a year, you know, like because he was obsessed with mambo music. Because in the 50s, in the Bronx, you had all these people moving up there, and like that's of course boogaloo and all this Latin music. It came from mambo in the 50s, you know. So, but it's just interesting. It's like, but you said the resort you were on, your rap was like on an island, so I guess there wasn't really getting off and going into.
There's a few, you know, there's a few resorts that are near Havana, but
yeah.
The thing you can do is talk to the locals, and there's always a story of, yeah, my uncle has a stack of records.
Sure.
But the condition, yeah. Like, we buy 45s without sleeves all the time.
Yeah.
Their albums don't have sleeves.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's stacks of LPs without sleeves. So the condition is horrible. And so you'll buy an LP in Havana and it'll cost you $20.
Yeah.
And it's scratched.
And you know, and I'm sure we've talked about this on the show before, where, interestingly enough, I don't know what it is particularly with Canada and Quebec is that it's true. We find unsleeved 45s all the time. They're never as bad as American rec. Like, right. Like, it's like they're the infamous Detroit condition.
Right.
Because it's like, you will come across unsleeved records in the States and you're like, what? It looks like someone had to have taken it and rubbed it on the concrete. You don't really see that here. You very rarely see, like, you'll find unsleeved 45s, yeah, they're in VG condition, but they're still good. They're still decent. It's like, you very rarely in Quebec find records that you look at and go, oh my god, like, this is unsalvageable. Like, the records here are fairly salvageable, where I feel like, yeah, Jamaican records, forget it. It's very hard to find good Jamaican records that are better than G and G plus right. condition. They'll still play, hopefully.
But. Here's my theory, is that in America, Cuba, you know, and Jamaica, they played the hell out of their records.
Yeah.
We played it once or twice, and it went on a rack.
Yep, for sure.
Because I think that's the difference.
That's what they look like. You know, but again, you'll see them in the States, too, where it's like often, you know, you get a 45, and it has like that little number sticker on it. You know, like just like you could tell, like it was obviously like
cataloged.
You know, they were in their little carrying cases, and it's like you'll find a lot like that. But it's like again, like especially in cities like Detroit, Chicago, it's like
there were
like,
party records, oh so God, they were just,
and like bring it's like it to it's obviously it's like it fell on the floor, and then four people stepped on it. It's like that's like the, clearly it's like that's what happened, and it's like. But I do have like I remember I bought some 45s in Chicago 11, 12 years ago. And, like, they sound perfect. Mm-hmm. There's something like the quality of these old records that even like when they're trashed, it's like, oh wow, that still sounds decent. It's like once you buy by the haunted, most copies look like destroyed because it was a record for teenagers who brought it around and wrote on it and this, and it's like you put it on, it's like, oh, still works, still sounds good.
Vinyl compared to styrene,
especially Canadian vinyl, because in the States they would recycle vinyl, they would melt it down and use it again. They never did that here. So Canadian vinyl, like I got plenty of guys, shout out to our friend Drew Redmond in New York City, he'll always buy vinyl Canadian pressings for me because it just sounds better. But styrene too, there's sometimes you have a styrene record that looks horrible but sounds perfect, and then you have one that looks perfect and sounds messed up. Oh, yeah. Anyway. All right, I need to hear a song. So
do you have
music.
Do you have something, you know, Latin-like, or...
No.
Because I didn't think about it.
I do not. But I do... I'm trying to think how I could relate this to Cuba. I can't. But I do have another one for you. This is very 1962-63 R&B. I recently found a Canadian pressing of this record, and I did not know it existed. It's not cataloged anywhere on Discogs. It's never sold on the internet, and it's one of my favorite songs. And I couldn't. I found a Canadian pressing. I went, "Oh my god!" And I offered the guy like way more money than it was worth. And he was like, anyway,
What label was it?
So it's on Atlantic, and the Canadian one's on Atlantic too. This one's on Atlantic.
So the white and red.
No, it's like red and silver. Because the Canadian Atlantic, there was white and black, then there's the white, then there's the black and red, and then there's kind of like a maroon one. Like, it changed a couple of times. So this one, the Canadian one that I got, is on the silver and red. This is an American pressing, and this is by Little Esther Phillips. She was a blues singer. She's been around, I think her first records were like... maybe even the late 40s. I feel like she's...
I have a few from her, so I don't know. Yeah.
So this one is called Mojo Hannah.
I have a record, Mojo Hannah.
So Mojo,
but it's some...
So Mojo Hannah was originally recorded by a guy called Henry Lumpkin on the Motown label. Mm-hmm. The version you're thinking of is, I think you would probably have it. It is the B-side of Love's Gone Bad by the Underdogs.
Right, but I might have something else. But we'll play this one and we'll see. I'll check my...
This is, I think, so... Oh, and Betty Harris did it too, on the Jubilee label, the Black Jubilee label. So this is one of those songs, interestingly enough. So the original version here, well, you might as well look it up as I talk about it. So the original version is by Henry Lumpkin on Motown. Henry Lumpkin was kind of one of these... he made three... He signed with Motown in 60, 61. He did 3 45s and kind of disappeared for about, actually, he left Motown. Then in 1963, he had a record called I'm Walkin' for JFK, you know, kind of a JFK puff record. Then he disappeared for a while. Then he came back on the Buddha label in 67, 68 with a song called Hunting Hush and another one called Soul Is Taken Over, which I imagine you probably have.
I do.
Henry Lumpkin. You have those Henry Lumpkin ones? Soul Is Taken Over. Great record. So funny. It's like, this is one of those songs where it's like, it wasn't a huge hit, but I mean, it sold well in certain regions, the Henry Lumpkin, Mojo Hanna on Motown. So
I do have the Underdogs.
Yep.
I have the Impalers.
The who?
Impalers.
Also doing Mojo Hanna?
Yep.
It's amazing. So that's kind of the fun thing with the song.
On Axe Records.
That doesn't mean anything to me. That
I have also Betty Henry Lumpkin.
Yep. Oh, you have the Henry Lumpkin. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And I think that's it. But I have also Sweet Talking Hannah, one of my favorite records.
Who's that? Yeah, that rings a bell.
It's FSQ. It's on Reynard.
Sounds
funny. It's a very croony. We could play it and see if it's like a hip or slip.
It's a Howard Johnson side of the highway eating your eggs.
It might be, but I love that record. But
so. Yeah. This version. Okay. So anyway. So Mojo Hanna. So it's by this guy Henry Lumpkin. It's on Motown. It does well in certain markets. Whatever. It's never released, and it doesn't get a Canadian pressing on Tamla or anything. But what's interesting with this song Mojo Hanna is that it was covered by so many people. It's like, look, you have two different versions of it. It's one of those songs that kind of just got covered and covered and covered. I just want to look really quickly. The songwriting credits to Mojo Hanna go to Williams, Paul, and Paul. Williams. So it was written by, the Williams is Andre Williams, who we are familiar with, of course. And the two Pauls, well, one of the Pauls is Clarence Paul, who was Stevie Wonder's kind of mentor. When Stevie was signed as an 11-year-old, he kind of needed someone to help him, you know, get around. That was Clarence Paul. Clarence Paul's brother was Loman Pauling, who was the guitarist of the Five Royales. And if you go and listen to our competitors in the past Garage Rock podcast, who I will shout out because I'm a huge fan of the show, and I know you are too. There are nemesis, and also we love them. They just did an episode with John and Bobby, friends of ours from the Gruesomes. Those are the only guys who have been on both shows, and those are the only guests they've ever had are John and Bobby on their show until soon. But I won't drop any. I won't drop any more hints than that.
There've been more than once, so we need to even those things out.
So they just did an episode all about the Five Royales. This record kind of has a bit of a Five Royales connection because it was co-written by the brother of one of the Five Royales, Clarence Paul. I love this 45 so much. Again, when I found that Canadian pressing, I was like, oh my God, it exists. Like, there is hope in the universe.
I'm a fan of the song already, so.
To me, this is like perfection, gritty R&B, just straight rhythm and blues, Little Esther Phillips, Mojo Hanna. It's a Motown cover. We all know how I feel about Motown. Are you ready to get your Mojo'd, Hanna'd?
Well, I'm already sold on the song, and I do love Little Esther. I'm looking up what I have from her. But
and who was I just talking about? Burt Burns. Who produced this 45? Burt Burns.
Oh, so you got
full
circle.
You got Burt Burns, you got Little Esther Phillips, and you have a song written by Clarence Paul and Andre Williams. All of that accumulates into what you are about to hear in your car or your headphones, however you're listening to this podcast. Get it. Oh, I love this so much. Let's go. Mojo Hanna.
Strands in your hand and a $5 bill. I'm gonna put them in a letter and drop them in the mail. I'm gonna send them to a woman a friend of mine told me about. She's a gumbo cooker and an alligator.
First of all, I love her voice.
Yes. She also almost has like that Eartha Kitt, like,
absolutely.
She could have been like a jazz singer, you know, just like that.
Well, she sang some blues.
She was a real blues singer, yeah.
Right. So I have three. This will be my fourth record from her. I have It's Too Soon to Know.
Yep, that was a big hit.
Hello Walls.
It's a Willie Nelson cover.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he wrote that song.
And I have one on Canadian Quality. It's Release Me.
That actually might have been her biggest hit ever. Yeah, that came out on the Lennox label in the States, and that's one we see fairly often. That was like a big... That like crossed over onto the pop charts. Sounded nothing like this.
Well...
Yeah.
This is a faster version from all the versions I ever heard.
The Henry Lumpkin one's fast too, but it's and again, that's the original. Don't be wrong, I love it, but like, oh man, this is the version,
it's a dancer.
Yeah.
Compared to the other ones are a bit slower.
Well, I mean that part in the chorus there where it just drops out and it's just her singing with that drum beat, the drums. Oh, you heard me go woo, you know, like it's just like, oh, it's so killer. Yeah, it's oh, it's such a good version of that song.
She has a particular voice that I really like.
Yeah,
so
it's definitely recognizable voice. You know, it's funny. I must have maybe five different 45s by her on Atlantic. Not necessarily all Canadian pressings. Because she also does a version. She does When a Woman Loves a Man, the answer to When a Man Loves a Woman. But there is one 45 by her on Atlantic. I can't remember what it's called. That's like a big, big, big money Northern Soul 45. I've never come across it. Like I said, and I'm thinking, because obviously when I think of my collection, I think, okay, my Atlantics and my Canadian ones. And I think I've got four or five by her. But yeah, she has one. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a big, big, big one.
Because most of her records are cheapies.
Yeah. She was very popular, especially in like the you know, black world, you know, she sold a ton of records. Like I said, I actually have a 45 by her on London, Canadian London, from 1954. Because it was on Savoy, you know, like Nappy Brown and stuff. Like, yeah, she was recording way, way, way back. And did I not sell you? Is it not her on the show? Wait, oh, well, you just looked at like, what you have by her. Mm-hmm. Didn't I not sell you something? Wild Child? Did I never sell you that by her?
On
Warwick? Is that not her?
Esther Phillips.
This is Esther Phillips.
Well, there's no Little. That must be why.
Because
it's on my want list. So I want
a
copy.
I sell it to you?
No, I want it.
Are you No, I sold that to you. I don't have it anymore.
Wait, was it recently?
Hold on. It's called Wild Child, right? Yeah. Esther...
It's on a red label.
Yeah, Warwick. Esther Phillips, Wild Child.
No, because it's...
Wait. Ugh, come on.
No, it's on my want list. I don't have that record.
Oh, what did I do with it then? Wait. This one. Oh, it doesn't say, it just says Little Esther. It doesn't say Little
okay,
Esther
there,
Phillips.
Yeah, there. That's why.
I want
that record.
Oh my God. Maybe I still have it then.
because
wait,
I think,
what did I do with it? I must have it.
It's on my eBay want list.
I'll sell it to you.
Oh, I,
sure. It's a great record. It's popcorn, like really. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, she's got all kinds of good records. So yeah, she recorded for so many different labels. You know, like Savoy and blah blah blah. But, yeah, but she was throughout most of the '60s. She was with Atlantic, and but then again, yeah, that Release Me one is on Atlantic, so she moved around. Yes. Oh my God.
One's a bit more expensive.
Yeah, it's pricey. I'll keep an eye. I we were talking before the off air about that Curtis Knight 45, and I was like, oh, is that who it is? Curtis?
Yeah, because
Curtis Smith. I was like, oh, the paddle like this, and I ended up having three of them. I don't know what I have.
Because you showed me off air because you weren't sure if I had it, and I do.
And the reason why I thought you had it because I think last time I saw you DJing, you played it.
That's possible.
I can picture, yep. Or maybe when you got it, we played it on the show. I remember I associated it with you. Anyhow, so I think you'll take that mojo.
I will
work that thing for me, Hannah.
I think I'll counter.
Ooh,
because something in the popcorny, you know, R&B thing.
See that what we just heard. That is something, for some reason, my brain would say, that's New Breed R&B.
Yeah.
Nasty, but, just dancey.
But for me, New Breed is a bit slower.
Yeah.
This is R&B.
Popcorn, yeah, it's just a straight, it's like a straight rhythm and blues. Yeah.
The one I'm going to feature now, you know.
Okay.
And the weird thing is, I had it in my eBay wants, but only the artist.
Okay.
And every time a record from him would pop up, I never remember
which one it was.
Which one it was.
Yeah.
I believe it was this one. I'm not sure.
Who's the artist?
You know him.
Okay.
Of course you know him. Trey Martin.
Oh, he's got a couple of goodies. Well, doesn't he do Monin?
Yeah. But I prefer the
Mark London
version. So I never bought the Moaning one.
Yeah, because his version of Moaning is good. And he also does Work Songs.
That's the one.
There we go.
So here's my
blue-eyed, on the chain gang.
Blue-eyed up-tempo Northern Soul. Oh, I know. I regard it as Northern Soul.
So
because I re-listened to it, yeah. And it's a bit faster than I remembered.
So Trey Martin.
So here it is.
Trey Martin, who... you see his name on quite a few records. He was a New York guy. He wrote songs for like girl groups and stuff, and like you see his name on all kinds of different labels. And recently, in the past year, I found a 45 by him that goes for like stupid money on like a small label. It's definitely like a Northern Soul record because he's one of these white guys. Definitely went into blue-eyed soul territory. And I realized, I'm like, I don't really know anything about him. So I kind of, like, was looking him up, and he's still alive. And has a YouTube channel where he still makes music.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and all his songs are about, Don't Take My Guns Away, Trump 2024.
No. Oh, no.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, like, he's very Italian. And, like, a lot of Italian guys and Jewish guys back in the day, they always, you know, Dean Martin. Dean Martin's not Dean Martin's real name. And, yeah. You know, Jerry Lewis isn't Jerry Lewis's real name. So
artist names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There were stage names. So, Trey Martin, he's, like, one of these, like, old school, like, Italian New Yorkers, like, Trump 2024, baby, like, you're not taking my guns. And, like... It's funny. And there's, like, music videos.
You never should have told me this.
Yeah, so...
Because it's going to taint
But you know what, though? I've learned that when it comes to... Because, like, this isn't the first time I've seen this where it's like you have... I mean, look at Ted Nugent, for Christ's sake. Oh. I mean, you know, he made... With the Amboy Dukes, he did all these cool... You know, it's funny, like, these guys who are, like, the epitome of, like, counterculture, psych music, and soul music, and now they're, like, these conservative shills, you know? It's not surprising. It's not the first time I've come across this. I mean, like, David Clayton Thomas, I mean, he also writes songs about Trump and stuff.
Really? Oh, don't tell me those things.
I think his might be anti-Trump, but, like, it's kind of ambiguous. Anyway, yeah, well, Trayvon Martin. I guess
the addicts out there can't sort of figure out our political allegiances by reaction.
Look, you gotta laugh. I mean, I'm not gonna not listen to some record from 60 years ago at this point. But yeah, I remember like coming across Trayvon Martin's YouTube channel, and I was like, oh boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So take that out of my mind.
Now we're going to backtrack to 1965 to the Work song. And this is another song that got around. And it was actually a chart hit, an instrumental version for Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass, you know, the Whipped Cream and Other Delights band. And my favorite version of this song, I have it. Do you have the version by Tommy Hunt on Scepter?
Have a few from him.
Yeah,
so maybe not this one.
Tommy Hunt did this. Yeah, it's one of those songs. It's a jazz song. It was originally recorded by a guy called Oscar Brown Jr. That's who wrote it. I think it was on Columbia originally. But yeah, it's one of those. It's kind of like even Simon and Garfunkel have a song where it's called We Got a Groovy Thing Going, and it's a do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like they stole the riff from this song. So yeah, the riff has gotten around, and this is a really good version. I actually have this one too. I picked it up in Maine, I think, last summer. So let's work. Work some.
Picking up big rocks on the chain gang, breaking rocks and serving my time. I'm breaking rocks out here on chain gang, cause I've been convicted of crime. I hold it steady right there while I hit it. Ooh, I reckon that ought to get it. I've been working and working, but I still got a long way to go. I commit the crime, Lord, I need it. I'ma be here hungry for now. I left the grocer store.
Regardless of the political views, it is a kick-ass song.
What, you don't want to listen to Taxpaying America by, and it says in the thing, RCA recording artist Trayvon Martin. But I'm on his YouTube channel now, and the first thing is a cover of Are You Lonely For Me, and it's a Burt Burns tribute. So that's, I mean, that's interesting. I think I might have missed this
lately. 1966.
Yeah, hold on. What else is on his YouTube channel? God Bless America Again, God Bless the USA, Ooh, We Gotta Pray by RCA vocalist Trayvon Martin, Ooh, Masters of War 2024.
Sounds like a Metallica title.
Oh, he's got a great one called Image of the Eagle, and, oh my god, yeah, he's got... seems like a whack job, but yeah, it is...
Well, that song is good, and...
Oh, yeah, a work song, and... you know, oh man, I got her something. She put the hurt on me or something. That's like the one I found this summer. It's on a very small label and it's really, really good. But yeah, he's another example of one of these blue eyed soul singers who did some really cool stuff and now his brain has been fried by Fox News.
Let's move on. I need a palate cleanser. Not because I don't like the song. Well, just the subject.
I just realized the last record I sold you was a Motown cover. I got another Motown cover. This time on, funny enough, on a jazz label, Impulse.
Yeah, recognize
for,
it.
You know, known for John Coltrane and all that fun stuff. This is a record by a guy we know very well called John Lee Hooker. And it is a cover of a song we know very well called Money. That's What I Want.
Wow.
So... John
Didn't you talk to me about this song?
I might have.
On the lot. Yeah,
I think. Maybe I mentioned it because I think I had it in my box last time, but I was like, oh, I'll wait to.
That's right.
So, John Lee Hooker, I recorded, I think, four different versions of Money. You know, it's originally by Barrett Strong, covered by the Beatles. This is the only time he covered it where they actually gave credit to the songwriter, Berry Gordy Jr. Every other time, it just says it was written by him. It wasn't. And the interesting thing is, this says Berry Gordy Jr., but it was actually co-written with Janie Bradford, who was a receptionist at Motown as far back as 1959. This, in my opinion, is his best version of Money. I think you'll dig it. It's very mod. Not like my Crocs. Anyway, moving on. Money by John Lee Hooker.
The best thing in life is free. You can give it to the birds and bees. I need money. I need money. I need money. Oh, yes, that's what I want. Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need money. I need money. I need money. Oh, yeah, that's what I want. Money don't get everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I need money. I need money. I need money. Oh, yeah, that's what I want. Money don't get everything, that's true. What it don't get, I don't want. I need money. I need money. I need money. Oh, that's what I want, baby.
Well, I didn't know this version.
Yeah, can't you just picture all those like mods on speed in 1964 and their parkas just bopping along to this with their scooters?
I do.
Yeah, and you know what I realized?
I picture myself.
Yeah, on speed, dancing around.
Pretty
I also,
much.
I also realized, I think the flip side is an alcohol song.
Oh, what's the title?
Bottle Up and Go. Should we give that a quick
spin? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. This is another song, too, example. I think... it's based on the song Step It Up and Go, which I believe was Rudy Ray Moore.
He does a version.
Of who, John
Lee Hooker? John Lee Hooker, yeah.
Okay, well, this one's called Bottle Up and Go. Can't remember what it sounds like, but let's check it out.
I'll tell you right away
Why not? We'll play. Well, we don't have to play the whole thing. We can just do a little taste. Leave the mics on. Bottle Up and Go.
little chicken, thought it was a duck. Put him on the table with the legs sticking up. You got the bundle up and go. You got the bottle up and go.
Yeah, it's just nice, slow. His guitar tone is
very typical John Lee Hooker.
Yeah, he's got a recognizable sound. His guitar is what a tone he gets on that thing. But yeah, cool version, eh?
Oh, it's
a lot of Motown covers.
It's going to be one of many covers I have.
Of Money. Yeah, we're talking about Mojo Hanna was covered a lot. It has nothing on Money. Oh my God, man.
So I have a few, notably a César et les Romains.
That's
French version.
Quebec's finest.
I also have, the Barrett Strong I have.
The original, yeah.
I have the Jackie Chane.
That's right.
I think you sold me.
I believe I did.
Also,
on the Sure Shot label, not sure.
Junior Walker and the All Stars.
Yep, Money Part One, Part Two,
and I think that's it.
There's probably other ones.
I have so many Money records,
you have Money related songs. You know what I thought of the other day that you introduced me to? That Tommy Ridgely one. That's a good one.
I need some money. Money,
baby. Yeah,
oh, that's so good.
I love that record.
That for me is a striptease song.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's burlesque almost. Yeah.
Well, I'm out of records to sell you.
It's funny that I hit two of my suites in one record. So my money suite and my alcohol suite.
That's true. You got to bottle up and go with your money. Yeah, perfect.
Well, no worries, because I've got.
You've got some stuff to play.
Two more.
You know what? I'm doing a textbook slam like they do.
There you go.
Doing a record case slam like they do in the past.
So we're going to switch back to Northern Soul.
Cool. What are we going to hear?
This one, you know I like my rare records.
Really? I had no idea. I thought you were just a Spice Girls guy.
This one came out on a few labels, and this is the earliest
pressing release.
And the label is really obscure and small. It's a label from Norfolk, Virginia.
Ooh.
Came out in 1968. My little description is Northern Soul with vibraphone and a drum break.
Ooh.
So, are you excited?
Look, you say drum break, you get my heart pumping.
So I'll let you introduce the band and the title.
Let's see this.
Beautiful label. Copy.
Yeah. Sounds International. I Want to Make It With You by Pop Tops. Didn't they on Kala?
And I think
As Los Pop Tops or something?
I think they might have changed names too.
Wow, a lot of people wrote this song. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hines, Weaver, Liebman, Eisenberg, and Barthlow. Well, two of my people helped write this song. I Want to Make It With You. It sounds familiar. Is this not the same? Anyway, are you looking at their page?
I'm looking up at that particular record.
Yeah,
it came out on Cotillion.
Oh.
Yeah.
This doesn't ring a bell to me at all.
There's four different pressings on Cotillion.
Well, they must be they got to be a white group.
So, Pop Tops.
From Norfolk, Virginia.
Originally formed in the 60s as soul and R&B horn band, the Top Pops.
So why did they change it to Pop Tops?
I have no idea.
The Four Tops?
Unless I read further, but I think they were like a local East Coast band going up and down the East Coast.
You know what? This is one of those, I bet you it's going to have that Carolina Shag sound to it. Have we ever talked about the Carolina Shag? That
no,
was like this weird.
So
I had never known about this, but a couple of years ago, I have SiriusXM in my car, and out of nowhere, there was this new temporary channel called Carolina Shag. And everything they played on this channel was some obscure soul song. I didn't know what it was. And Taryn was like, "You don't know this song?" I'm like, "No." So it turns out Carolina Shag is it's called shag dancing, and it is this. It's like, you ever see that term Carolina beach music?
No.
Like when people are describing soul records, like the epitome of that sound is like, do you know the song Girl Watcher by the Occasions? I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl. It's on ABC or Spartan in Canada. Anyway,
I have it.
So and this goes back to like the 60s, that there was this, there's these dance competitions on like the beaches in the Carolinas called shag dancing competitions. You could YouTube it. Like, this is like
not, you know, and I extended to Virginia, I guess.
Yeah, well, that whole kind of like the mid part of the continent, like, mm-hmm. so like a lot of the records from like Norfolk kind of fit into that sound too. Like Be Young, Be Foolish, Be Happy by the Tams, another record that is like a perfect example. That's considered Northern Soul. So there's a lot of crossover of like these kind of like Oh How Happy by the Shades of Blue. Anyway, just kind of like a lot of it's like Blue Eyed Soul, but it's like, it's just interesting that it's like there was like this whole subculture, kind of like how they had Northern Soul in England, like in the Carolinas, going back for years, and they still have these dance competitions.
So it's a scene.
Yeah, it's like this scene, and so this channel comes out, and I'm like, what's a Carolina shag? And it's a lot of like, it's horn heavy, but it's like, because it's like beachy, it's very happy. So it's like, it's kind of interesting that it's like, it's this very localized thing, and I have a feeling this is going to fit in with Carolina beach music.
I'm gonna tweak my ear to yeah. your description and see if it
fits. I'll give you the thumbs up or thumbs down if I think this fits in, but
we'll discuss it
when we're done recording after. I'll give you a good example, but yeah, it's just interesting. Like and what was so crazy with this channel is that they would play like contemporary music, because you and I and guys like us in our scene, we kind of all view soul music through these rose tinted glasses, and it's mm-hmm. like, for us, it's like soul revival music is like Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings and Lee Fields and like kind of these things that came out of, you know, Daptone and Coal Mine Records. And it's just like, but there are like local artists in the South still, like guys, like, you know, black guys who are 70 years old who still like make CDs in their basement and sell them. And like, when you're in the South driving in your car and like you just put on like a random black radio station, like you'll hear music that's supposed to sound like 60s soul music, but it's made with like synthesizers by some guy at a radio station that like still exists. And like this Carolina shag station would play some of that, and you're like, it's this weird disconnect, because we would never hear this music, because it's kind of interesting to think about, but it kind of got very off topic, but it is
weird. We're so good at pigeonholing, yeah. you know, subgenres of,
I haven't even heard soul. This record yet, and I'm just assuming it's going to be.
And you're this, opening a door that I didn't even yeah, know existed.
It's kind of like, you know, you can compare it to how in LA there's like the lowrider scene, mm-hmm. and how like they're super into like those ballads, like, you know, the kind of
sweet
like,
soul,
the sweet soul ballads, and like how like the Chicano thing. It's like, mm-hmm. so this is the same. This is like, you know, on the East Coast in the Carolinas, they have this thing where they're really into a very specifically kind of horn driven mid-tempo. Anyway, let's listen to this record.
Well, just like the term that I've never heard before until like 5-6 years ago. It just popped up. Yacht rock.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, my French pronunciation.
What's yacht in French?
Yacht.
Yacht?
Huh? Yep. Really? So it's yacht
spelled,
rock.
Spelled the same way?
Yep.
With the CHT?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is the rock de bateau.
So that's new to me, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and it's a sound I knew before from the 80s.
Yeah, but that's like everything. It's just like, you know, we call lots of things garage rock that were recorded in a studio. Like, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, people at the time would, it's like,
it was rock.
Well, cause yeah, it's just like, it just doesn't matter. It's just music. It's like, cause now it's 50 years later, you label things. It's like, oh, that's popcorn or that's Northern Soul. It's like, no, it's not. It's just a freaking song. Shut up. You know? but as humans, we tend to want to categorize everything. And it's like, yeah, yacht rock. It's like, I don't think anyone called it that at the time. Like,
no.
You know, summer breeze makes me feel fine. Like, to me, that's yacht rock. and like cruising.
Kenny Loggins, but for even, me, it's yacht rock.
Even like Cruising by Smokey Robinson, to me, like that's yacht rock. That's like, you know, it's like this, these easygoing kind of like, you know.
But I associated very much with the West Coast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cruising by Smokey Robinson was recorded in the West Coast. Motown left Detroit in 1972. But yeah, it's like, what's that other song? Like, there's so many. Like, what's that song? Sailing, Saving.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Show me the way. My wife knows.
The yacht rock sound.
I'm looking at her. But she's on her phone.
Does Hall & Oates
Sailing? Who sings that?
Who sings Sailing? Sailing. Is it Chris Cross?
What? Chris Cross? That's a hip hop artist.
No, it's not.
Chris Cross?
Chris Cross. I'm gonna ride like the wind.
Chris Cross is also
So yeah, she doesn't have a microphone.
We're talking to our producer Nat. hold on, Ride Like the Wind, you know, it's like with the one that, like,
that might be Christopher Cross.
It has like Michael McDonald, who does like that one backup line. I think it was a skit on SNL,
because there's Chris Cross also with a K, and there were young kids hip hop.
Okay, that's young a different kids. Thing. Okay, you know, Christopher Cross does Ride Like the Wind, which to me, that's kind of yacht rock. That's kind of like...
Well, we're getting pretty off
topic. Imagine if we became a yacht rock. I start just selling you Seals and Crofts 45s. And just
I'm not into yacht rock at all.
Oh, yeah, that's a great song.
No, we can... I could put my money elsewhere.
All right, anyway.
Like a record like this one, the Pop Tops. Like,
we were supposed to play this record 35 minutes ago. Anyway, maybe it is kind of that Carolina Shag sound. Who knows? Anyway, I Want to Make It With You by Pop Tops on the Sounds International label from Norfolk, Virginia. Would you say 68?
Yep.
From 1968. Let's hear it.
I wanna make it with you, girl. I wanna make it with you, girl. You showed me what a love could do. Showed me that you wanted me to make it with you, girl. To make it with
that Carolina Shag thing I was talking about fits perfectly.
Well, first of all, they're all white band.
They are. I just saw a picture of them. I looked at them.
Yeah. So off of their Discogs page, there's an interesting little tidbit here. They were the designated house band in legendary establishments such as the Peppermint Beach Club.
There you go. Like I said,
so
yeah,
that
it's
makes sense.
It's beach soul music. It's like a very, it's a specific thing.
There's a
beautiful
so,
record too.
So, and the Top Hats, the Top Hat, that's another venue, the yeah. Dome, Peabody's, the Upper Deck. That sounds pretty, you know, yacht rocky to me.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. There was an Upper Deck in Detroit at the Rooster Tail Club. It's where all the Motown people used to play. Not the same place, but.
And part of the aliases, there's a artist that I own a 45 from him that I really like,
yeah.
And it's Flip Flop Stevens. Are you familiar with him?
No, but if with the name Flip Flop Stevens, I could become Croc Rock Benny.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to adopt, that's going to be my new DJ name. I'm going to DJ in Crocs and offend all of the mod people.
So they went by a few names, like the Famous Pop Tops Orchestra, Granby Street Development. That sounds like a psych band.
That sounds like something you'd make up.
Yeah.
It does.
And the Royal Collection. So I need to check Flip Flop Stevens. I think it's on Shiptown.
Oh yeah, that's a Virginia label. I'm pretty sure that's also from the same. It's from Norfolk also.
So I'm gonna check out Flip Flop.
Because when I think of Norfolk, Virginia, I think of Gary U.S. Bonds and who's that other? Lennis Guess, the SPQR label.
So I'm right. I have a record from. Oh, I never made the collections. Flip Flop Stevens and the Famous Pop Tops Orchestra.
Go.
And the title is Come On, Let's Do That Thing.
Yeah, that sounds like a record you would own.
Oh, absolutely. It's on Shiptown.
So, interestingly, with the song we just heard, I wasn't familiar with it somehow, even though I think I've had the Cotillion 45, or do have it. Musically, the beginning of that song reminds me so much of... Do you know the song Different Drum by the Stone Ponies? It was like Linda Ronstadt, like who obviously she became a huge solo success in the 60s. But
I think I have something by like, the Stone Ponies.
A different drum. Sounds just like that.
Anyway, oh, I see.
Written by Michael Nesmith of the Monkees. Small, fun story. But yeah, it made me think of that. But yeah, it's very good. But yeah, to me, that had the qualities of what I consider, yeah, this kind of beachy... soul sound. Obviously this Carolina Shag thing to me, it's a lot of it's very like blue-eyed soul, and that's exactly what this is. But that's a really cool record, and it looks like it's like new old stock. It looks
no,
like that record was never played before.
Brand new.
Wow, very good.
Also, it's a happy song.
Yeah,
you know, you feel
that's what I always say.
Lighthearted.
Like most of this, you know, soul music is it's uplifting, and even though the lyrics will be all like "you broke my heart and I hate you," it's like the happiest song you've ever heard. Like,
well, especially like with this old little ding 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 ding.
Yeah, with a little. It's like I think like "This Old Heart of Mine Is Weak for You" by like the Isley Brothers, like a sad song about breaking up, but it's like the happiest. You know, it's Motown. You know.
Well, this one is very good for the. Mental health.
Oh, good.
Because it just gave me a little
boost of happiness. Well, I think, I'm out of records to sell you unless you want to hear Curtis Knight, The Living End, again, which we both already have.
I have a record to end the show.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's almost 5. Yeah, it's true. It's like dark outside now.
So this one, I qualified it as driving funky soul with a James Brown feel.
Driving funky soul
with the James Brown feel.
It's going to be up tempo, and the guy's going to go.
Probably.
Yep.
It's from 1968.
Sure.
From Jimmy Mamu. Sounds familiar. It's on Capitol.
A little bit. That also sounds like a name you would make up.
Yeah.
Jimmy Mamu.
M A M O U.
Yeah, that does kind of ring a. Little bit of a bell.
Well,
maybe.
it's on Capitol. Like the green, lime green.
Let me see.
And it's Funky Love.
Oh, it's a promo, yeah. You call that lime green? Man, I'm colorblind. To me, it's like yellow. Is it not yellow?
Well, I need some more.
I don't know.
Oh, no, it's definitely lime green. Well, I need more light, but...
Funky Love by Jimmy Mamu. Produced by Leo Kulka and Larry Goldberg. Man, we really do control the entertainment business. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever heard this. It looks like a really nice promo copy. I'm excited to hear what Funky Love has to offer the world. I believe this will be our last track of the show, so... God, you're nowhere on social media. I want to plug you, but it's like...
Well,
you still haven't made your comeback yet.
You can find me on the Addicted to the Needle Instagram
That's
page.
That's like the last scrap you have left. So if you need to get in touch with
that... And I appreciate people reaching out. I have to say, I have a few people that reached out and gave me words of encouragement.
Well, you know, when your Instagram and Facebook both... went poof, I must have gotten an accumulated like 20 messages from different people trying to track you down. But if you need to get in touch with Pat, he's still there.
And I got some super nice encouraging words, you know, concerning my...
Well, because we're a nice mental community of people, you know, it's for the most part, for the most part, most of the people into this stuff are all very supportive of one another. And
and I want to give a special shout out to...
I accidentally just touched the mic. I feel like you're like staring daggers.
No, I'm happy now, so I don't want anything to ruin the mood.
Oh, we have fun.
Sorry, addicts out there.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Yeah, I. You know what? This is a live show. Things happen.
Well, I was going to give a special shout out to Michel Alario, our good friend and major collector.
And influencer. That guy has introduced us to tons of records over the years.
Absolutely. And forever. He sent me this very sweet, nice, encouraging message, and it really, really touched me. So, hey, you want to reach out the Instagram Addicted to the Needle page, give us a like.
And speaking really quickly of our friend Michel Alario, if any of our listeners ever find themselves in Sherbrooke, Quebec, which we all imagine you will at some point, be sure to visit. Michel has a little record store out of his house called Le Plan B, the Plan B. On Rue des Conseils in Sherbrooke. Message him beforehand. It's basically by appointment only. I mean, if you go on the weekend, he's there. But yeah, he always has really good stuff. I mean, lately he's been crazy good albums been coming through there. So if you're ever in Sherbrooke, go see our friend Michel, Le Plan B. So yeah, want to talk to Pat, Addicted to the Needle page. You can also like our Facebook page. And then if you are interested in whatever I'm doing, I'm Shulman the Soul Man on Instagram, yet to be hacked. hey, who knows? I'll get my turn soon. Go buy some records from me. The Company Sleeve on Discogs. I think I have 24,000 45s for sale. So, I don't know. Buy one. Thank you very much for listening. And we are going to leave you... with some Funky Love to end off episode 100 and something. We've done this like over 100 times. We're professionals now.
112 maybe?
Wow.
Somewhere in there.
Incredible. Wow. Shout out to Maude Marty too. I don't know. Just like Maude Marty.
We love you.
we love Maude Marty and his eggs. And I don't know. That guy really needs his breakfast.
Eggs are awesome.
All right. Anyhow, thanks everybody. And Jimmy Mamu, 68?
Yep.
Let's get some funky love.
And keep on keeping on.
So much love, yeah. Yeah, I got so much love for you. Love for you, love. I got so much love for you, baby. Love for you, baby.
me.